This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, Toby. Good to speak to you.
I suspect the big thing this week is the Labour Party budget and Rachel Rees giving her announcement on Wednesday, Matt.
Yeah, we're talking 24 hours after, aren't we? And I think we're all just absorbing, you know, some of the key messages and really sort of crunching the numbers and crunching the implications of it all, which I think is still playing out a bit today. But I think some of it's clear. Yeah, look, I mean, I think let's not talk in sort of national economic, you know, perspective. Let's talk a bit about what we think it means for the RNIB and for visually impaired people. I think there's some things in there that we would welcome. Clearly, we've got to see the detail and understand quite, you know, as I say, what it means at the sort of coalface. But money invested in the health service, you know, we would support, clearly, come back to that. Money invested in things like special educational needs, we would support. You know, we would support the standing behind the triple lock on pensions, because a lot of, you know, blind and partially sighted people are of an old age and therefore would be pensioners. And, you know, clearly we understand the cost pressures, you know, for visually impaired people, particularly when you're older. So having some confidence about the pension, still maintaining that triple lock is important. I think some of the challenges come more on the implications. You know, we have a bigger bill now to pay on national insurance, as every organisation does. That's gone up by 1.2%. And one would be concerned. We need to understand, you know, just what the implications are for how people's sort of sense of financial well-being and confidence and what that might mean in terms of seeping through into charitable giving over time. I think on the health service and the sort of special educational needs point, I mean, look, it's good money's going in. Clearly, we want to make sure that money is spent wisely, as is everybody. And we would, you know, see a particular need to spend on eye health. And I think, you know, it gives confidence that there will be some money to invest, and it gives us then further incentive to be pushing on all the work we've been doing with the Labour Party on eye health. So, you know, we've been having meetings with West Streeting, Stephen Kinney, working within the collaboration or the coalition we've pulled together for the pathway. You know, we keep pushing on those things. We had a meeting last week with Louisa Wickham, who heads up eye health for the NHS in England. And we talked about acting as that convening agent, pulling again together the charity sector, the NHS, corporate partners, Royal Colleges, etc., together, you know, to have another sort of summit, another meeting, get ministers in there, you know, and really use that as an opportunity to keep banging a drum. So, you know, I think the fact that the health service are being invested in gives us confidence that, you know, it's a can-do, forward-looking sort of opportunity, as opposed to one where there's no money and everyone is looking to retrench and cut things out. I think the special educational needs investment, you know, we've had a very strong track record over the years of supporting education, whether that's been through provision of reading materials or through some of the work we've done most recently on the children and young people's framework and teaching lots of teachers about how to be able to teach visually impaired children in the classroom. And we put, you know, thousands of people and thousands of hours of teaching through over the last couple of years. I think, again, money going into that is something that gives us the opportunity to really be pushing around those issues, around book share, around special educational needs, around how visually impaired children, you know, can be best served in the classroom, because we know that educational attainment gap is still too wide. And if you're coming out of school or college or wherever, you know, with a lower attainment than maybe a sighted peer, that doesn't set you up as well as the nation should for your ultimate employment prospects and life prospects. So I think the fact there's some money set aside for those things, we would see as a good thing, and we would want to be agitating within that to try and make sure, you know, some of that gets diverted into the causes that we're bothered about. I think one final thing, Toby, on the budget. I mean, the budget, there's going to be a debate on the budget and might be one or two changes, but I think the fundamental thrust of what's going to happen is clear, particularly with the large Labour majority. I think there's other legislation coming which is going to be, you know, really critical for us to involve ourselves in. You know, clearly the government, you know, in trying to get a grip on the nation has got different ideas in things like employment, welfare, things like travel and transport, the National Railways Bill. And we would want to be influencing those. Now we understand a bit more about what the financial landscape is going to be when that legislation comes forward. We want to be in there really pushing that. And, you know, we talked on the radio channel a bit of the last few weeks over something like the APPG event that was recently held on on employment with Martians and Cordova that us and TPTs that have funded that report. So, you know, there's different ways for us to keep pushing legislatively. What's clear now is the financial shape of what's going to happen in the country going forwards.
And I suppose continuing that theme on sort of health and legislation and everything else, the COVID inquiry is still continuing at the moment. And I think we're still having an input on that, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've done a lot of legwork with Sense and Scope, particularly, and working with other partners, MenCap, one of the charities in the Disability Charity Consortium. We had a meeting this morning, actually, about a Disability Charity Consortium response to the budget. So it shows that we're working closely together on some of these important national items. And we've been, you know, working with MenCap over the National COVID Inquiry because they had their own core participant status, which meant that they could submit a witness statement and be able to attend, you know, as a witness the inquiry. So Jackie O'Sullivan, who's a sort of deputy CEO, attended on Thursday last week, just about a week ago, really, you know, ramming home the points from a MenCap perspective that I'd made 2 or 3 weeks ago on disabled people not being well served at all through the initial sort of phases of COVID. And she was talking particularly to MenCap's experience and their beneficiaries, but that was a subset of what I was saying sort of 3 weeks ago. So Jackie and I have sort of worked closely together. We had a couple of meetings, and the admin team that sort of sits behind and helps, and the lawyers have been common to both. So Jackie and I were making all the same points to the inquiry. So hopefully it will ram home the point. And I think particularly we drew out on our social media accounts after Jackie's appearance was the point I've been making also about accessible information standards and really making sure, you know, disabled people can be communicated to in a format that they want so they can understand what is really critical correspondence about something like the COVID inquiry. But generally, we know that doesn't work. And we are desperate for that to be implemented because it would just make the experience of disabled people and visually impaired people engaging with the health service so much better. So, you know, it's been good I went as a witness. It's good Jackie went as a witness. You know, the lawyers behind the scenes have been able to sort of keep pushing that influence. And we would hope when we get to the end of the module on health, which is in January, that we would see that the work we've done in a combined way has some bearing on the recommendations of the inquiry on this health module.
Well, I suppose thinking a little bit about accessible information and possibly Christmas being not too far around the corner, Marks & Spencer's Christmas catalogue and brochure is available in various formats.
Yes, and I should just reference the fact I, you know, spent 15 years of my working career working at M&S, so I have a bit of, you know, skin in the game here, but actually nothing to do with me. This, the team, you know, variety of corporate partners, we've been working with M&S and other retailers actually on audio description for Christmas adverts for sort of many years. But I think what's really good is that we've teamed up with M&S to really make their Christmas their Christmas brochure, their food brochures, all the sort of documentation to make it accessible in all formats. So I'm looking at a sort of large format font sort of brochure with loads of Christmas treats on the front, mince pies actually, Toby. But I think we've worked with them on every format, so you can get it in Braille, you can get it in audio, and there's a detail on our social media on our website about where you go at Marks & Spencer to request the brochure or the information in the appropriate format, whether that's a brochure, whether that's an audio file. But I think it's really good that we're working with, you know, mainstream retailer. Clearly Christmas at M&S is a big part of their year. I think, you know, a lot of people will go and buy your turkey from M&S, and I think to have something so important at this time of year is really critical. So no, really pleased we've done that. It's a bit of fun, but it's really quite serious. So this sort of information should be accessible to everybody. And I know the team will be looking to work very hard to be pushing this across other retailers and other organisations. Yeah, I'd encourage the listeners just to go and have a look at this and look on our social media about where you can go and find it.
Well, you also find lots of information and advice, not only about the Marks & Spencer's accessible brochures and catalogues, but also about living with sight loss on the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. Of course, you can always call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your Amazon smart device to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you so much indeed, Matt, for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Toby. And I think an important week with the budget. I think it's given the nation a sort of sense of direction, whether you agree with all of it or not. I think for us, it gives real opportunity. I think in terms of really trying to, you know, work in the areas where investment is going to be made, I think it gives us a few challenges around our cost base as well. But we will weather those.